Hey there, welcome to Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and today, as we open the doors and invite you to come in, if you're a parent or a grandparent, you may be single, you may be married, you may have teens, you may have little ones, you may have grown children. We're going to talk about, I think, the singular most important responsibility we have as a parent. It's to raise our children to become, or at least have the opportunity to become, godly young adults. We only get one shot at this. How do we do this? What is one thing that you do in your family that you think makes a difference in setting that platform for your kids to grow in Christ? You know, if you miss this one, you miss it all, I think. You get in the later years, and some of you, God bless you, you're looking back with regret, and we just say, hey, you know, stop it, because that ain't going to help you. Let's get forward motion. Let's look at what we can do, even if your children are now young adults or adults and raising your grandkids, and you look back and say, I blew it as a parent. The good news is you still got today. This is the first day of the rest of your life, and so let's move forward. But if you're a parent, you got teenagers in your home, you got young adults maybe, or little ones still, I can't think of anything else more important. I know that your goal is to raise your children to become godly young adults. It will be your greatest reward and your greatest challenge. And I think that's true. And today, I mean, God love us, if you're a parent today in this culture in which we're living, with all of the confusion and with all of the media and with all of the influences in your child's life, you've got to crank it up. I mean, now more than ever, if you are not intentional, I'm telling you, the streets of your town are intentional for your kids. The internet is intentional for your kids. There are people who are spending their entire day figuring out how to reach your kids with stuff that you don't want them reached with. And if you and I really want to do a good job in raising our family, and of course, we're not the Holy Spirit. God's got to move in our children's lives. We understand that. But we want to look back and say, hey, we gave them every opportunity. We prayed for them and gave them an opportunity to know God. We don't want to look back with regrets. And so this is a big deal. No matter what stage you are in the process, I would ask you to join me with answering the question, what is one thing that you're doing, or maybe one thing that your parents did that you want to communicate with us to help raise you, or in this case, your kids, to know God? What is it?
I am a foster mom, and I would have to say that happiness to me is seeing these young children progress. After being through so much hardship and heartache and rejecting love, to see them accept it, it makes me think of myself as I was going through hardships and heartache and rejecting God's love for so long, and to see them just embrace it and heal, that to me is true happiness. It's just mind-blowing, and I thank God for that.
The thing that makes me the happiest is to know my children love God. And the thing that breaks my heart the most is to watch them suffer when they don't love Him and follow His will.
The thing that brings me the most happiness is watching all the things that I prayed for over my daughters when they were young coming to fulfillment through their actions and their deeds and their service to the Lord. God bless you, and thank you all for what you do.
Well, you're very welcome. The little things. I think it's what we're going to hear today. It's doing the consistent little things of building into the lives of our children. 888-888-1717. Let's see. Jennifer's our first caller here from New Mexico today. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you today?
Good. So you're a mom, right?
I am. I am a mother of two daughters.
And at what ages are they?
I have Anna, who is 7.5, and Sarah, who just turned 1.
Ah, congratulations. What's the passion of your life as a mom?
Taking care of my family, serving my family, and serving God, and, you know, through them. It's the best part of my life. Every day I wake up, and it's the first thought that enters my mind is, thank you for this day.
How do you keep God at the center with your kids?
Well, today, for example, you know, we talk about God a lot. We, you know, it's a part of our day. It's a part of the conversations when difficult situations arise. It's, you know, well, what can we do? How can we pray about that?
Mm-hmm. And so, what kind of things do you pray about? Have you prayed with your kids about recently?
Well, this morning, in fact, I was driving both the girls and dropping Anna off at school, and she shared with me that she was nervous. And I said, well, what could you do about that? And she said, well, I can talk to my teacher. And I said, that's a great idea. I said, but you know what else? You can pray. You can pray about it. And I said, and you know what else? And she kind of perked up, and I said, I'm going to be praying for you today.
Yeah.
And she just broke out with this big smile, and I said, because I love you, and I care about you. And she got out of the car, and she just kind of skipped away, and I thought, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it could have gone a totally different way, and that was the Holy Spirit leading me as a mother to share that with her, because of course I pray for my family, you know, daily, and many times throughout the day, for their protection and for their guidance, and in difficult situations that, you know, the Holy Spirit will guide her and guide my husband and I in raising these two beautiful gifts. So it was just an awesome moment for me as a mother to remind them that we are, you know, praying for them specifically for so many things. But, you know, it never crossed my mind to share it with her specifically. And it was just an awesome gift this morning that I was able to do that.
That's fantastic. Well, you stay at it. Life's tough. Raising kids today is difficult. And God bless you in the process there, Jennifer.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate your call. Today we are focusing on how to raise godly children. Now, obviously, there's no second generation. I mean, it's not like DNA. If you're a believer, your children are automatically believers. But they have to make a decision. But certainly, you want to be in a place where you are presenting an environment in your own home, in your own life, in the way you interact. And when praying with your children, letting them see Scripture, let them know what the Bible teaches. Kids are so distracted today with so many things, and it's a decision you make. And we talk about living intentionally, and it's interesting. I don't know if you've noticed, but you know, we started intentional living a number of years ago, and I keep hearing more and more people referencing intentional, being intentional, intentionality, because I think what's happening is the culture is starting to close in on us more and more and more, and what we used to talk about years ago is some future reality, now we're seeing it as we're being put more and more into a marginalized box as believers. You get one shot at this thing of raising your kids. You get one shot at this thing. And I don't say that to heap guilt, but just to point out the fact that while we're not perfect people, we've got one shot at being intentional. And there's nothing more important than knowing God's intentional love and then sharing that intentional love to our kids, to the next generation. As my mother used to say, children are the future that we will not see. I think it's a good reminder. 888-888-1717 with the question, one thing you're doing to help raise a godly child.
I was calling regarding what I do intentionally in raising my children. And one thing I do often is intentionally talk about the crossroads that you're going to have in life, not only in the decisions that you make, but the consequences to your decisions.
One thing that I do is I talk to my daughter, and when she does something that she's not supposed to do, rather than yell at her, I bring her to me and I ask her about making good choices.
And one thing that we do as an intentional parenting towards our kids that is working is taking them to church, following up with them, and to show them not only that we love God, but show them an example that we trust God.
There you go. These are really practical things being shared. Listen, equipping to live intentionally comes down to doing the next right one thing. Let's find out what Katie's doing in Missouri. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
How are you today?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. What are you doing intentionally in raising the next generation?
Well, we are just making sure that we pray with our kids and take them to corporate prayer meetings at church and stuff so that they can, you know, see other people praying and see other kids praying. And I feel like that does two things. It just connects them with how the Lord feels about what's going on in the earth, and connects their hearts with the people that are suffering and with, you know, whatever world events are going on in the right way, in a biblical way, instead of just the way that the culture tells them to.
Boy, you don't see that much any longer. How many churches still have prayer meetings? There used to be prayer meetings were kind of a regular thing in churches, and like Sunday evening services used to be. And nowadays, that's kind of rare. So your church has corporate prayer meetings?
Yeah, I actually, we're on staff with a place called the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, and we have 24/7 prayer meetings.
Fantastic.
So we're, my husband and I, you know, we're trying to connect with other local churches and raise those things up because we feel like it's very important. So.
Yeah, it just isn't happening as much as it used to. Do you have any, do you do research on how much is corporate prayer around the around churches today? Is it, is that just my sense that it's less, or is it true that there's less of it?
No, it's definitely less. And we talk to pastors all the time, you know, that have said that they've tried to do corporate prayer meetings and, you know, it just fizzles out. People are too busy or whatever. But I feel like there's being a resurgence. The Lord's really raising it up again, raising up a praying church again. And, you know, we're seeing it happening more again. So it's really encouraging.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, appreciate what you're doing there, Katie. And I tell you, you're building into your children something they will never forget. These are childhood memories being built into their lives. It's very powerful stuff. Thank you, Katie.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I appreciate it. That's great. Let me see here. Line three. Jacob is in Michigan. Jacob, welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you.
Go right ahead.
How are you today?
Good. Thank you.
I grew up on the streets in Adrian, in Maui County, in Michigan, and growing up on the streets has taught me a lot about the Lord and a lot about the Lord's grace. And I'm now using what I've learned to teach my baby sisters, Alexis and Ava, about the Lord, and my older siblings, too. I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for me on how I can more reach my baby sisters and my older siblings? Because as of right now, I'm the only one that follows Christ, but I wish to see all of my siblings in heaven with me.
And you're in your 20s.
I'm 22.
22. And how long have you been living on the streets?
I've been living on the streets since I was about 8.
Wow. And so you have relationship with your family?
Somewhat. I kind of keep my distance from them because, like I said, they aren't Christians, and I am. But I would like to reach them, and I'm slowly reaching one of them one by one. When I was 14 years old, I led my father to the Lord, and now he goes to church every Sunday, and he listens to Family Life Radio, and he watches Dr. David James Jeremiah, as do I. And now I'm just slowly picking off one family member at a time to bring them to the Lord, just to show them the glory that I have received.
Well, you don't need any instruction from me. You figured this out, man. Now listen, Jacob, you're 22 years old. Are you working? Are you have an apartment? What's your life about today?
I live on my own in Brooklyn, Michigan, and I attend Abundant Life Assembly of God in Brooklyn, Michigan, 4 times a week. And I am currently looking for a job.
Wow.
And I just ride my bike around town just sharing Jesus.
Well, good for you. Listen, so many of us were so busy passing by at high speed in our cars, we don't have that opportunity and we don't take the opportunity. Hey, Jacob, you know, your question is, how do you reach them? You did it. You said, pick them off one at a time. You know, I think it's this one-to-one relationship. It's all about relationship. You know, take one of your sisters out, you know, and spend some time together, spend a day, talk about their life, talk about your life, talk about what God's doing in your life, what you've learned, what's happening. You know, this relationship, when you look at Scripture, look at Christ and his impact in people's lives. He didn't just stand on a pulpit and preached. Of course, he did teach, but even then he would use illustrations and parables and different ways of communicating a truth, but it was relationship. He took those 12 disciples and he spent time with them building relationship and building into their lives. And I think in your case, that gives you an opportunity to build into the lives of your family as you're able to do so. And then also at church, you can invest, you know, get your siblings involved in church, spending some time with them. But listen, you're on the front end of a whole rest of your life, my friend. And as you work through the stuff from the past, that obviously there's a whole story there. To be able to get spiritually grounded, get some good men around you that'll build you up. I mean, your future could be fantastic as you just continue to trust him. So stay on the bike, stay in the word, stay focused, and be intentional.
Hello, I am a mother and wife, and I have four little ones. And about 2 years ago, I made the choice to intentionally make sure that I took my kids to church regularly. And I've seen a lot of changes in their lives. I've seen them grow and blossom. They now range from 2 to 9, and they're just beautiful kids. And we get comments about them every day and how great kids they are. And I know that it's not as much me as it is God just really sowing seeds in their lives and being around people and fellowshipping on a regular basis. Made a big change in my life, my outlook on life, and I just want to thank God for my church family and for his vision in terms of ordering my steps.
Just announced, Family Life Radio's Night of Hope with Dr. Randy Carlson and inspiring music by Jordan St. Cyr.
Walk me through fire.
Dr. Randy will share practical steps and timeless wisdom to help you face life's challenges with confidence. Friday, June 6th at Haven Church in Glendale.
When I needed rest.
Sponsored in part by Compassion International. Tickets available at theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, get those tickets today. We're looking forward to a fantastic evening. I'm excited about this. You know, we've done conferences all over the country for marriage, our dream night evenings, and we've had over 50,000 people come to the conferences, and we're doing something brand new. We're calling it a Night of Hope, and we're marrying, if you please, the music that you hear on the air along with the words that we want to share from Intentional Living that can be life-changing. And Jordan St. Cyr is going to be there to lead us in worship and sing some of his most popular songs that you hear on the radio. And then I'm going to be sharing with you about how to have that kind of relationship that God intends for you to have. Maybe you need to have some direction. Maybe you're looking for some direction in your marriage. You want some encouragement for your marriage. I'm going to give you 6 powerful truths that will change your life no matter what the relationship is today. Maybe it has to do with your children. So single moms and dads, you're welcome to come. If you don't have kids, we're going to talk about relationships and how to make that marriage work. If you have a family, it's going to be a great evening for you to learn about communicating with each other. Coming up when? June the 6th, Friday night, just a few weeks away in Glendale, Arizona at the Haven Church. We have limited seats and the tickets have been moving along pretty quickly here. So check it out. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. How would I define what a defining moment is? I came up with this definition. It's a moment when a person, when a couple, when a business, a ministry, or a church comes face to face. All of a sudden, it's just thrown into your face either an opportunity that can be seized, right? Or a challenge or a threat that needs to be addressed, or failure. And we have all had these moments in our life. It's a part of living, and these moments and how we respond to these moments in our life help to define how our life is operating and how we're relating in the world today. And we have to make a decision, because the decision that you make at that moment when you're faced with that defining moment in your life will impact your future. You know, I had a defining moment at 13, recognized that even as a young teenager, growing up in a family of Christians, mom and dad, and going to church, that just being in that environment didn't get me to a place of a relationship with Christ, and I gave my life to Him. That was a defining moment. I met my wife Donna when we were teenagers, and we married as teenagers. Wow. Many, many years later, we're still married, enjoying our relationship and loving each other. That was a defining moment. When I was 30, I think 31 or 32, I made a decision to go back to school and finish my undergraduate and graduate and going on and get my doctorate in psychology. That was a defining moment. 3 precious kids, those were defining moments, and so many in a lifetime. And I call them sometimes aha moments, you know. Those are better than oh no moments. And the lesson featured this month is on that topic of defining moments. And it's really made possible because of the generous support of listeners just like yourself who support us so we can do all of this to encourage you to live an intentional life in Christ. So check it out online. And also, don't forget, as we mentioned just a little bit ago about that Night of Hope conference, tickets available now at theintentionallife.com. Boy, it's going to be a great evening on June 6th in Glendale.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
All right. Thank you, Kurt. You know, I wrote an article a while back on, in fact, it was an excerpt from one of my teachings, and I laid out an acrostic on leadership. I took the letters in LEAD, L-E-A-D, and I thought of those, each of those letters, in terms of raising our children intentionally, or our grandchildren intentionally. And for the letter L, I talked about the power of living what we preach. See, kids today see it, and I'll tell you, maybe in past generations, there could be an element of phoniness that kids culturally would just absorb, but today, that ain't the case. If it ain't real in your life, and you ain't living it, your kids see it. They see it online, they see it in the world, and we're not perfect. Our goal isn't to be perfect. That's why we need to tell our kids we're not a perfect parent. That's why apologizing and asking for forgiveness when we blow it, being real people, helps. I mean, it's a part of the process, just being real. But living what we preach, in a sense, children are catching our faith, not just hearing about our faith. And then for the letter E, encouragement. Encouragement. You know, you intentionally lead your family through encouragement. You know, the little verse that says, a hope deferred makes the heart sick. And if your children have feelings of hopelessness, have feelings of loss, of lack of meaning, your kids need to be encouraged, and you're the greatest encourager in their life. I would love to talk to your kids 10 years from now when they call in and talk about who encouraged them most. Wouldn't be the school teacher or the Sunday school teacher or a friend or somebody other parent, but it'll be a mom. It was my mom. It was my dad. It was my grandparents. They were the ones that encouraged me the most. Intentionally lead your family through encouragement. Let me go to Chuck. He's on the phone from Arizona. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Good. What we're talking about raising our kids to be godly. What have you done in your home?
Well, we're a little older. We've got kids and grandkids now. Mm-hmm. But kind of looking back now, I think of the verse that says, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season that too has its reward. Mm. And he also gives the warning, don't be a fool, for whatever you sow, you reap. Yeah. So we chose 25 years ago, 25, to homeschool our kids.
Oh.
And it was a sacrifice because the world says you need two incomes and you got to do this and you got to do that. But we chose together to do that, and it was hard. We're older, so back then we were under a lot of scrutiny and a lot of questions. But now we've lived long enough to see that fruit come forth, and so we feel between that investment, and like you said just a few minutes ago, it's huge. You got to live out.
Yeah.
What you're preaching. So we are involved in our church. We lived. You got to walk what you preach, so to speak, like you were just saying. You can't live one way at home and another way at church, but that's important. But the other thing was investing into our kids' lives. And so, I mean, I know there's no just one formula, but we feel it was a huge cog in the wheel, and it gave them the ability to survive a lot of the peer pressures and all the stuff that happens through the public system. And I know there's pros and cons, both sides, but our side of it was we see now both of our kids are doing well, one in law enforcement, one a professor at a college, and both have done well, not only in worldly standards, but in spiritual standards. They both love the Lord, walk with Him, seek Him, and now we're seeing it coming out in our grandkids, and they're making those choices together with their mates and deciding to do the same thing. And it encouraged those that do that, by the way, because back when we were younger, we were under a lot of scrutiny, and everybody said, oh, what about the social development? Hey, if you're involved in your church and you got things going on, they won't be socially deprived at all.
Well, and what you've done, Chuck, is I think what's important for young parents who are listening, you did a little bit, you did it consistently, and you did it over an extended period of time. And so I say to parents today, maybe you're in the middle of the teen years, you feel like you've blown it, start today. You've heard Chuck share some of the things they've done. You know, figure out what's the one or two, three things you're going to do, and it begins with being genuine, being real, being honest, being vulnerable, being a person. as you raise your kids. I think that's very powerful where it begins. Okay, got to run, Chuck. Thank you for your call, my friend.
All right, you have a good day, man.
All right, thank you. Thank you, appreciate it.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Ken Norris. Just appreciate your program and all that you do to teach people to live intentionally. And I was listening to the program tonight about how to teach our kids in such a way that when even we're dead and gone, that they're still living for Jesus. I've had the privilege of raising four boys. Three are out of the house, two are married, and still got a 15-year-old at home. You know, I see kids seem to drop off, and I think it has something to do with them owning their own faith. We teach them the scriptures. We tell them how to do things that are right and wrong and have that relationship with Jesus. But as each of them have made a profession when they were young and thank the Lord they're still serving the Lord and still on track for God, I challenged them when they became teenagers and young adults to start thinking about the things that they did and why they do the things that they do, and teach them to realize that to some degree they've lived in a Christian vacuum, and ask themselves if the things they do, is it because mom and dad says so? Well, that's good, just to obey their parents. But do they do it because it's just a set of rules that they've learned from the Bible? Well, that's good too. We're to follow the ways of the Lord. But do they do it because they hear the voice of God? Are they walking with God? Why do they do the things that they do? Truly owning their faith. As teenagers, they see adulthood coming, and they begin to question, what's ahead? And they begin to reassess the things that we've made foundational in our lives. And certainly crucial at that point to guide them to realize it's okay to question, and it's needful to question as to why they do what they do, and to truly own their own faith. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great day.
Boy, that needed to be said. Ken, thank you for sharing that. Wrapping up the show today as we're talking about raising a godly child. You know, we pass on our faith. We pass on God's intentional love. We share with them. But at the end of the day, they've got to make the decision. And they got to live with it. And so as we train our children and teach them, it's not just a ritual to say, hey, we got, quote, to get them saved and then we can move on. They really have to understand, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? And Ken said it well. One of the reasons we see the stats of young people when they leave high school and go off to college, many of them drop out of church and involvement with Christian things because it just didn't take. It wasn't really a part of their own life. It was just the culture in which they grew up in. So pray for your kids. And I know, parents, listen, you have the same desire as I do for my kids and my grandkids, that they not only know Christ, but they will live Christ. That is intentional living, to figure out what pleases Him and then do it. That's what we've been sharing. So thanks, Ken, for helping us wrap up the show today. I would love to hear your feedback on what you've heard today. What's your comments? Share them on our comment line at 888-888-1717. Gotta run. Thanks for being a part of Intentional Living. God bless you, and be intentional.